So, but I kind of have a subject.
Please.
Okay. It's about soul winning. Like, I think, this kind of just occurred to me during part one. I think that, I mean, yes, soul winning is handing out tracts and talking to people on the street, but I think more than that, it's just, like, having God's responses to people.
Very good. Very good. Absolutely, it is. It is God's heart towards people that is soul winning. I like that statement. That's a very good statement. Because I don't have to be religious in my soul winning. I need God's heart. This is one of the reasons why the soul winner's crown of joy is called the crown of joy. Pastor Stevens talked about this one time, because the joy of the Lord will draw people. I got saved, at least in that experiential way. And I believe maybe, there was a period, I think I actually got saved three years prior to getting saved, so to speak. I had received Christ. Get this, I had received Christ, told a person who was a leader of a Christian community, and he said, oh, that's nice. And that's where he left it. I got beaten up so bad by the enemy, by the world. Not that I did anything nasty. Don't misunderstand. That's not what I mean. I just, you know, the difficult things in my life that happened, you know, some of them happened, you know, after that point, and I believe it was from the enemy. I believe that it was because I was a believer who was a newborn left out in the open field. You can't leave a newborn in an open battlefield. They won't survive. God was merciful. But when I had done that, I had gotten on my knees one night and I had prayed. And when I had prayed, it wasn't the sinner's prayer. I said, God, I give my life to you. As the moment I made that confession in my heart to God, I felt like I woke up for the first time, like this new awareness, without ever having been asleep. And I believe that may have been what is meant by born again. I told a believer that, who was supposed to be some sort of a leader. I think Christians make too much out of being the so-called leader. People want to be leaders. They don't know the meaning of the word. Anyone who's pursuing after being a leader is not one. I told this person who was supposed to be some sort of a leader, and that was literally their response. Oh, that's nice. Good for you. And that's where he left it. No, wonderful. Why don't you come and like spend some time even? No, come and like get built up in the Word of God. None of that. Just that's good for you. That's nice. Not good. I was fortunate because after that point, I started getting around Christians and I didn't like them. I liked the Bible, I didn't like the Christians. Until I met a Christian who had a real laugh. Because the Christians that I had met, and I told you this story before, were phonies. And I still think they were phonies. Living by a concept of what religion is, rather than living by the Spirit of God. It was not a good place to be, but God had a plan, and His plan will always be fulfilled. God's plan will always be fulfilled. Regardless of what happens, God's plan will always be fulfilled. God is bigger than someone who does not know enough to say to someone who has just confessed Christ, "Oh, come and be built in the Word." At that point, I was looking for something to respond to, and I received nothing. That's okay. Now, in retrospect, I think it worked out better. But it went through some unpleasant places. I think that being a soul winner is really an issue of having the heart of God. Because apart from having the heart of God, even if I soul win, and thank God, like Paul said, whatever the motive, at least Christ is being preached. But if I'm truly a soul winner, then I am a soul winner out of God's heart. That's a very good statement. It's a very good statement. Any other questions or thoughts before we get started? Okay. Father, bless these words to our hearts, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. And Father, give us a portion from your heart. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, and this is the second part of the message about the doctrine of the rewards of the Bema Seat. In chapter 15 and verse 41, the Word of God says, "There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory." The believers are the stars of God. And one believer will differ from another believer in glory. When I get to heaven, I will have a soul body. My physical body will be left behind. My soul will depart from my body. Many believers, scholars, think it is through the mouth. And if you have ever seen someone die, they leave this unnaturally long exhale, and that is their last breath. And if you ever see it, it is almost startling how long that exhale is. It is not an exhale. I do not believe it is an exhale. It is too long. As people die, they usually breathe shallowly. That exhale is too long. I believe it is the soul leaving their body. My wife told me recently a testimony she heard. There was a man who was in an airplane crash, and when the airplane hit, it exploded. And this man was an unbeliever, and somehow he made it out of the airplane relatively unscathed. And as he looked back, he saw, bound in their chairs, other passengers who were burning to death. And he said, as he looked at them, coming out from their bodies were these apparitions of light. And every one of those passengers had this light being coming out of their body. This was an unbeliever who said it. This man was not saved. He saw, I believe, and I think it was a real thing because it is scriptural. God had allowed him to see this. Their souls departing from their bodies. My soul body will have an illumination to it. It will be a body of light. some will have a greater glory, a greater degree of light, and others will have a lesser degree of glory, a lesser degree of light. And according to my responses to God, those will determine the degree of glory that I receive in my soul body. Now, this degree of glory is not a bema seat reward. This degree of glory is added to my soul body as I am a believer upon the earth, and as I leave my body the day that I go home, if the rapture does not come, and I think it, personally, I hope it does. I want to go up. But if it does not come and I go home, then the day I go home, my soul body will depart with its degrees of glory. It is not a reward at the Bema Seat, it's a reward that is given now on earth to the believer and will be revealed as the believer leaves his body. Now the Word of God says that the way that we get these degrees of glory in 2 Corinthians 4:17 is by light affliction, which is only for a moment. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh far for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory." As I respond in faith response, faith obedience, as I respond in positive volition to God's initiations through His Word and His Spirit, through the circumstances that I find myself in everyday life, whether positive or negative, if I respond to God, I receive a degree of glory in my soul body. Those people who do not respond to God's initiations, albeit they will be saved, they will go to heaven, will have a lesser degree of glory in their soul body, a lesser degree of light, than those people who do respond to God. Because it is that faith response in our light afflictions, not in our tests, not in our trials, not in the fire, in the light afflictions. Those faith responses to the details of light produce a glorified soul body. My soul body is something that I will keep with me until the resurrection. It will never leave me. That's not what I intend to say. But I will have it, and that will be the body that other people see prior to the resurrection if I go home before the rapture. I will get to heaven and I will see people and I will see their soul bodies. At the resurrection, God will raise up a glorified body that will cover our soul body. That glorified body is that with which I will return to earth as we reign with Christ. Not everyone will reign with Christ. Those who return to earth will return in three waves. First, there will be Christ. This is at the very end of the tribulation, at the Battle of Armageddon, where the armies of the world are lined up in the Megiddo Valley against Israel to destroy her. God will return, Christ will return, set foot on the Mount of Olives. The point of contact will be with such great power, not necessarily great force, but with the power of God behind him, that the scholars believe that the mount will split in half. Second, behind Christ, will be the elect angels. God's angels will be behind him. Third, the third row, the third wave, if you will be the believers who reign with Christ riding on white horses. And behind them will be the believers who will not reign but will be here on earth to observe, because they are still a part of the bride of Christ. They are still a part of the church and they still have a place with God. but they would not go through the suffering process. They would not stand in truth. They would not be overcomers in their lifetime. But they did get born again. And they will be in the final wave on white horses, coming after those who will reign. Those who will reign will be then assigned their places on earth to reign. Those will be the ones who I believe are going to be the closest to Christ, because the need will be there. And also, those will be the ones who have learned God's mercy in the test, and their hearts are already closest to His. But that is going to happen after the Bema Seat. Now, in Daniel, in the 11th chapter, in the 38th verse, the Word of God says, "But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold, silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things." We will receive our rewards. Our rewards are a reciprocal event. Inasmuch as we receive honor from God for having honored God, it is the same kind of an event as we love because He first loved us. My love for the Savior, my receiving of His mercy and passing it on, my living in grace, the doctrine that is built in my soul, these are gold, silver, and precious stones. God gives it to me, and I give it back to Him. And between us, in that divine principle of reciprocity, we have an exchange and a fellowship and a communion where He gives to me and I give to Him. And we have a richness of a love, the same type of a love that is between the bride and her groom, the same type of a love is between the Savior and His beloved. It is a rich exchange. And in that rich exchange, I find my rewards. Now, to continue with the crowns, we started with the crowns, and we went through four of them, and this is the fifth one. The fifth crown is perhaps the most difficult crown. It is the crown that most people, I believe, reject, because it comes often at great price. And this is the crown of life. The crown of life is given for suffering. The Word of God says in James 1:2, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation," and that word temptation there is trial. "Blessed is the man that endureth trial, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." That passage tells me two things. First, it tells me that the crown of life comes through trial. Second, it tells me that a trial will come to those that love God. If I love God, that love will be tested. God will prove my heart, and He will prove it, one, to me, two, to the world, and three, to the angels. God will reveal to me my relationship to Him. He will reveal to me His love towards me and my love response toward Him in grace and faith. He will reveal to the world, because the world needs to see the love of God in a man in action. The world needs to see a heart transformed by the love of God. The angels look into our lives to learn about the grace and the mercy of God, to learn what it is like to walk by faith. The angels do not know grace, because they do not need grace. The fallen angels, because they were perfectly fallen, because they were perfect beings, would never accept grace. The angels do not know mercy in the practical experience toward themselves because they do not need mercy. They are perfect. The angels do not know faith because they see God face to face. They do not need to trust in that which they cannot see. They see Him face to face. They have seen Him for thousands of years. I walk in faith. I have never seen Him. I have seen Him, but I have not seen Him. I know Him, but I have never met Him, but I know Him intimately. The angels cannot have this type of relationship. So they look in unto our lives, and God will reveal His character to the angels, whom He also loves, but He reveals it to us, through us. Now the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Great is the reward that comes for suffering. Great is the reward that comes for persecution. Great is the reward that comes for rejection because you stand with God. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful." He cannot deny Himself. What does that mean? If we go through the suffering, God will reward us richly. We will reign with Him. There is only one way to reign with Christ, and that is through suffering. Only the crowd that receives God's grace, that receives God's mercy, that receives God's word to the point where they can stand with God in the suffering, where they can go through the fire, where they trust God in the trial, only that crowd will reign. No other believer will reign. Only the one that is willing to suffer with Christ. If we deny Him, He will not deny us our salvation. He is faithful. He abides faithful. What He will deny, He will deny us at the Bema Seat. People think sometimes they misuse this verse to say that it's a salvation. It's not. It's reward. He'll deny us the opportunity to reign. 1 Peter 4:13, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." When we reign, we do not only reign over the earth, we do not only reign over people on the earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3, "Know ye not that we shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" If I reign over this life, if I reign over the testings of this life, if I reign in mercy, I reign in grace, if I reign in the power of the Holy Spirit with His work in my heart, where I can stand in truth against the wiles of the enemy, I reign in this life, I will reign in the times to come. And I will also reign over angels. We judge the angels. Now, there are those who will not only not reign, they will get a reward that they do not want. There is something called the reward of the hypocrite. The hypocrite's reward. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The hypocrite has his reward in this place. He does not have his reward with God. The hypocrite who wants to be seen how good he is. The hypocrite who makes a show of his tithes. The hypocrite who makes a show of his works. The hypocrite who makes a show of how good his service is. How godly he is. He has his reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do not do things for the purpose of men seeing. Do not seek the praise of men. Seek the praise of God. The praise of God only comes through a humble faith response in the heart towards Him. There is one more reward that you do not want. And this reward perhaps is the worst of the rewards that can be given. In 2 Peter 2:13, the Word of God says, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it a pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. These are cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. These are people both in the world and who claim the name of Christ, who live fellowshipping with Satan's kingdom. It is possible to be a believer and be just like the unbeliever. It is possible for the believer to operate in the kingdom of the enemy. Although if a believer is a believer, he will be born again, but difficult to say whether he is one or not. But a believer is capable of operating in the enemy's kingdom. It is possible for a believer to lead people astray. It is possible for a believer to go and pursue people and to drag them and to establish in them their lust patterns in response to his own or her own lust patterns and to drag them away from God. These people have a reward. It is called the reward of unrighteousness. It is not a good reward. They are cursed. They are cursed. If it's a believer, then this person is cursed in their experience and will suffer loss of all rewards at the Bema Seat. If it is an unbeliever, then they are cursed in their experience as well as their eternal state. And although God may allow them to appear to prosper for a season, their prosperity is going to take them nowhere, because what have you in fact if you have gained the world and lost your soul? They are cursed believers. Be careful for this. Do not be attracted by the lures of the world. Do not be attracted by the lures of sensuality, of lust. Do not be attracted by things that claim pleasure, entertainment, fun. Do not be attracted to them. Be attracted to the things of God. God gives a greater pleasure. You see, a lot of people think that if they go in the world, they will have fun. If they go with God, it will be dry and lifeless and not fun. This is not so. This is not so. The people who have the greatest satisfaction in their lives, the people who are the happiest in their lives, the people who are the most content are not those who pursue the world. Those are the people who pursue God's way. God rewards them with things like contentment. God rewards them with things like pleasure and satisfaction. But they got it from God, God's way. Now there is one important portion of the rewards that will be given at the Bema Seat. This is a category, this is not a reward. Although in and of itself, the different components put together make up a reward. And again, for some reason, it seems like this doctrine is not very often taught. But it is an important component of God's rewards, perhaps the single most important. This is the Morning Star Order. The Morning Star Order is given to the overcoming believer. The Morning Star Order is given to the reigning believer. The Morning Star Order is given to the believer who has responded to God's word to produce transformation in their heart. The Morning Star Order was only promised in Revelation 2 and 3 to those who heard what the Holy Spirit had to say to the churches through the Agalos, the pastor teacher. Those believers who think that they do not need a word of God preaching, grace-loving, sin-hating, finished work pastor preaching the full counsel of God, they are selling themselves short on the Morning Star Order. Because in Revelation 2 and 3, where the Morning Star Order is defined, every reward of the Morning Star Order starts with one command. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's where it starts. In Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat at the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree of life is a species of tree. In Revelation 21, out of the throne of God flows a river, and along the sides of the river are trees of life, plural, trees of life. It is a type, it is a heavenly species of tree, and this tree gives special illumination and understanding into the Word of God, into the heart of God, into the nature of God, that nobody else will get. Only those, the overcomers, will be permitted to eat from the tree of life. This is the same tree of life that gave eternal life in practical experience to Adam and Eve. They were permitted to eat from it in the garden until they left the garden. They experienced eternal life in their human experience as so long as they were eating of the tree of life. The tree of life gives a greater degree to those who eat of it, of this experience, than those who do not. In Revelation 2:10, the Word of God says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall come, shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The Morning Star crowd wears the crown of life. The crown of life was the crown in tribulation, the crown of suffering. So we know that the Morningstar Order crowd is a crowd that, number one, loves God enough to suffer with Him. They will eat at the Tree of Life, and they will wear, it will be given to them to have the crown of life. Actually, we don't wear our crowns. We return them to Him. We cast them at His feet. But they are still our crowns. The morning star crowd is in Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the white stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. God will give that person a unique portion in their identity and in their character that only God knows, and it will be only known also by him that receives it, and no one else. It is a special brand of fellowship with the Savior. The morning star crowd is the crowd that is closest to God. Others will be closest as they can in their capacity. The morning star crowd has a greater capacity. In Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. So the morning star crowd, they do not reign, let's say, as administrators, simply like some, you know. Okay, have you ever thought, okay, how do I reign? Do I reign like, what do I do? Like, am I a principal? Is that reigning? No, that is not reigning. Am I something like, do I manage a company? No, that is not reigning. We reign over nations. The morning star crowd reigns over the nations. Not small time, not small pie. Nations. We reign over nations. The morning star reigns over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and that is talking with firm conviction from the Word of God, firm grace, firm conviction, firm mercy, firm finished work. He shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter. They shall be broken to shivers, even as I have received my Father, and I will give of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. The crowd that suffers, the crowd that responds in God, the crowd that overcomes the world, that overcomes lust patterns, that reigns in the world, that overcomes the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony, by the word of the Lord, the one that has their heart transformed, the one that hears what the Spirit has to say to the churches, that's the Morning Star crowd. That's the crowd that reigns over the nations. In Revelation 1:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That is a contrast. That is a contrast. This is not the crowd that denies. This is the crowd that goes through it. This is the crowd that doesn't see the heat when it comes, because they see Christ instead. This is the crowd, something happens and say, where is God in it? He's there. Where is he? I want his blessing. This is the crowd that the testing comes, the fire comes, and say, God, deliver me, but not until I have everything you have for me in this situation. This is the crowd that trusts God. This is the crowd that will go in the furnace and, like the Hebrew boys, King, if I perish, I perish, but my God is more than able, and he's bigger than you are. And the fourth man walks around in the furnace because they don't run from the furnace. The furnace is their provision. Oh, they may not enjoy the furnace, but they're not afraid of it either. They walk into the furnace because God leads them there. Not because they want it, but because God leads them there. They don't try to run. They don't try to quit. They don't try to get their, like, wiggle their way out. They don't try to weasel something. They trust God. They carry a white raiment, degrees of glory. They shine like a star, a bright star. You will see these believers, and the light coming from them will be unbelievable. A brilliant, beautiful white light. It is their white raiment. This is the morning star crowd. In Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh shall be clothed with that white raiment. And his name will not be blotted out of the book of life. It will be in the Lamb's book of life. He will not perish. And he will be confessed by the Savior to the Father. Not everyone is confessed by Christ to the Father. The morning star crowd will be. In Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. This is the crowd that has held fast. This is the crowd that does not walk looking to around them. This is not the crowd that considers, what are people going to do? What are people going to say? What are people going to think? What's the result of this going to be? This is the crowd that walks in faith obedience. This is the crowd that holds fast to God's word. This is the crowd that holds fast in tribulations and trials. This is the crowd that doesn't waver. This is the crowd that doesn't see the storm. This is the crowd that's walking on water. They will also receive the morning star. This is one of their characteristics. And they will have God's name on them. They will have God's character. They will be the citizens and the representatives of heaven. They are the ambassadors of Christ. They will have God's new name, God's new character, God's finished work. They are the possessions of God. Personal fellowship. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I also overcame, I am set down with my Father in his throne. Well, if I am seated with Christ and Christ is seated with the Father, I am seated as an overcomer with God. I reign with him. I reign here on earth and I reign in heaven. I reign in this life and then I reign with Christ. And I don't just reign for 1,000 years. The believer that reigns, the morning star crowd, they reign for all eternity. We have the option. We have the choice. We have a volition. God will honor it and he will not take it away from us. God will not take our choice away from us. He will offer it to us to His own hurt. He will offer it to us. I can choose to respond in a faith response. I can choose to walk apart from feelings, from my past, from my experiences, from what people have done to me, what people will do to me, from apart from what people may say, apart from the things that may come, apart from any physical illness I may have, apart from any testing or trial, set apart unto God. And though I do not live in the world, I have to live in the world. The world is not my home, heaven is, although my feet are planted here, I am seated above. Or, I have the option to be seated below. I have the option for my soul to cleave to the dust. I have the option to pursue lust patterns. I have the option to pursue worldliness. I have the option to pursue ungodly desires. I have the option to do things my way apart from God. I will still be saved, but I will not be well rewarded. We are here, and then we are gone. This is the Word of God. That's what it says. We are here, and then we are gone. There are only few, and only for a short time, who will even remember that we have been here. It is far better for me to respond in positive faith, obedience to God and His Word, to trust Him and to walk with Him and to follow Him in purity and in truth, not preserving my life, not preserving my position, not preserving myself, but to trust Him in purity and simply walk by faith, receiving from Him as my provision and having only Him as my provision. And when I do this, God calls me just, because the just shall live by faith. If I choose to have this kind of a walk with God, then I will be rewarded by Him. If I choose to walk in purity, if I choose to keep myself clean, if I choose to long after Him, then God will give me an incorruptible crown. If I allow Him to take me into suffering, and I stay there with Him, trusting Him in the process, then He will give me a crown of life. If I have faith response and faith obedience, if I overcome in this world because I see Him and I keep my gaze focused on Him, then He will give me a crown. If I preach His Word as a pastor, and I am faithful to His Word, and I am faithful to be obedient to the leading of the Spirit, and I study to show myself approved, then I will receive a crown. I do not have to choose to do those things. But if I do, and if I pick up my cross and deny myself, my selfish self-life, and take on God's life as my life, and walk in the fullness of that meaning, then I receive the morning star. I reign with Him. I am seated with Him on His throne. And for all of eternity, I will eat at the tree of life with a brilliant white raiment, with special fellowship with the Savior that only that crowd has. And it will be given to me as my reward. at the Bema Seat. It is coming. It cannot be avoided. The choices are entirely my own. God will take me as far as I am willing to go with Him. That if I am completely willing, then He will take me as far as He wills. That's where I find my rewards. Do not be afraid of the difficulty. Sometimes it will not be difficult and sometimes it will. But when it is, realize that in dark places are His riches, secret riches. And those riches will be revealed openly at the Bema Seat, and I will receive those rewards. Amen.